Hey everybody, it is Monday morning. I hope you guys got your coffee. My name is Scott. This is the Future Conflict channel, and we are the Council on Future Conflict. Today we will be talking over more Ukraine, more and more Ukraine. It's the gift that never goes away. This is day 68. You know, by all reckoning, and we're gonna talk about a couple things. As always, we've got our trusty Matt segment where we'll kind of give you the updates of what's going on in the battle space. But on top of that, we've got some other topics today. So Nancy Pelosi has entered the chat and is making Zelensky uncomfortable. Let's see, Gerasimov has narrowly escaped a Ukrainian-targeted artillery ambush, and, you know, kind of just perusing the interwebs, I found a story about how Russia has contingency plans to unleash a seismic explosive charge in the ocean north of the UK that, if need be, they can put the UK at the bottom of the ocean. So very James Bond-esque. I totally approve of planning like that. I mean, it's very ambitious. I don't approve of the execution of such plans, but I can't wait to read what Mike writes about it, because Mike, this absolutely is a plan that it's almost too outrageous even for one of your books, because you're so grounded in reality. So I can't wait to get your opinion on this.
So you're trying to say I should be more outrageous, or?
Well, I mean, you know, just I'd say look at Moonraker. You know, Moonraker should set the.
Yeah, that's a standard.
That's the standard, right?
Yeah.
The most outrageous James Bond film ever. You know, Adam, it's been a while since you've been with us here on the council. How's things been going?
Yeah, things have been going forward, you know, as always, never left or right, but always forward, always through. Life is a near area ambush, so you always assault through,
that's right.
Last time I was here, we were talking about potentially a long and bitter siege of Kiev. And now it's like, where are the Russians? And it seems like they're going through their own half self-imposed meat grinder in eastern Ukraine. And the map doesn't look that much different for the last 30 days since I haven't been on, which is kind of astonishing.
Well, you know, it's interesting. It's easy to say that, but I was going through some kind of day by days just to kind of look at some of the key terrain that's been changing hands. And while I wouldn't say that the Russians have been decisive in their assaults, they are definitely salami slicing, you know, in the maybe they've learned that from their Chinese allies. And they are taking, you know, one village at a time. The question is it too costly, right? I mean, you know, this is becoming an attrition war. While the Ukrainians are receiving stuff from us, you know, Russia has the advantage when it comes to something like a war of attrition, I think. I don't know. We'll see. I mean, it's you're right. Joe keeps talking about how it continues to look like Vietnam. The red portion there of the map looks like Vietnam kind of on its side. So I think he's on to something.
Yeah, but I agree.
Vietnam that was entirely open and flat with good roadways.
Yeah, right. That is surrounded on almost all sides by equally flat land with decent roadways. So yes, no jungle hellscapes in this Vietnam. Mike, how are you doing today?
Good morning, morning. Doing well.
Are you properly caffeinated?
I'm getting there.
This
I need to have at least two pots before I'm awake.
Well, I mean, just to kind of spite you guys, the streaming business has driven me to drink. I was really inspired. So one of my favorite, I'm back on the Kentucky medicine this morning, And I was inspired. I'm inspired by one of my favorite weekend live streams. So essentially, when our Saturday live stream is done, right? It's like what, 9:30 if we go late, 10 o'clock for you guys.
Yep, 9:30 Eastern.
And so at 10:30, I think Eastern, my favorite culture war live stream goes live, and that's Flashcast. And so the crew on Flashcast, they have a thing where if you do 100, I mean, so he has a big crew, so he'll have like 3,000-4,000 live viewers, and so a lot of super chats coming in. And so he's got this rule that if you get a $100 super chat, then everybody on the stream will do shots. Well, several weeks ago, maybe even a couple months ago, they were doing $50 super chats for shots, and they had to do so many shots that the entire group almost became unfunctional on Flashcast. And so, and of course, one of our favorite grifting lawyer is one of the regulars on Flashcast, Nick Ricada. A lot of other good folks on there. And this past weekend, that Star Wars girl essentially decided to drink herself into oblivion, almost solo. All the rest of the guys were, drinking as well. But she's the very small lady and got very hammered. It was pretty fun. If you can find the rebroadcast out there, I know he privates his, but people rebroadcast it. If you can find this past weekend, it's well worth the watch. So that's what I did after our last show. I did that while, it's middle of the day here. I mean, it's, 10:30 when we're done with the show. So, I put my headphones on, turned on my YouTube, put my backpack on, and I went out for my 9 mile hike on Sunday afternoon, and listening to, well, I mean, it's, I've done the only thing that's worth, that I have on my kind of like only work I have to do all day on Sunday is do the stream in the morning. And then once I'm done with that, it's kind of like, I'm free to
try to get your low rider. That's running. I guess you're, I don't know, like, I don't know what a army rucking cadence would be, or like if there even is such a thing, but yeah, whatever is like your one foot in front of the other type of thing.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Good old low rider Leo.
Yep. There you go.
Yeah, that's definitely a Marine deal that we don't do that kind of stuff. You don't have, it's like you need no motivation for duty. That's kind of what, is that... No, I'm not saying anything about. Well, we do have an even split of Marines and Army today, so.
That's right.
Mike, of course, being a former Army guy, and right. Watcher, and you being you've got your little flag hanging. In. I always think that this is like a Warhammer flag or something on the wall behind you.
I have it set up actually just that way intentionally. It's funny because a buddy of mine, I went over to his house yesterday, and he has like all these Warhammer things that he paints and builds for armies. And he's like, one thing because he was an army guy, he's like, one thing I really like about the Marine Corps aesthetic is like you can really make it look like something from a codex, So,
but yeah. Anti-copy for $5 says Cadence, drill sergeant from the Coconut Grove.
Okay, I have to explain something now. Something that has bothered me for a long time. You see, what everyone else calls cadence is generally what Marines march to. And that you are only allowed to say left and right and weird derivations of that, like left or right, right? Like that kind of stuff. But we also have marching cadence or rucking cadence, which is the whole song and answer thing that all the rest of you nasties do when you're regular marching.
Yeah.
That would just seem to be cruel to me. I mean, the whole ruck thing is bad enough, but then you throw on top of it having to do cadence. I used to hate running in formation or anything in formation. I didn't like it.
I'll be honest with you. My favorite time for running in cadence was when I was in ROTC in college. And we had, so this was like 93, 94, that time frame. So we had several Somali and Iraq veterans had gotten out. And because we were fairly close to Fort Campbell, my college, we'd have a lot of Fort Campbell guys coming in. And so there were all these cadences that were,
Politically
related directly.
incorrect.
Well, they very incorrect, but they were related directly to. So, like for instance, with Somalia, you had all these burn the town and kill the people, all these types of things, these resurgence of Vietnam era cadences. All I ever want to see are bodies, bodies, bodies. These were cadences that were very common at that time. And then, you had lines coming out of because we actually got to fight a war where we could blow up tanks. Then you have all these kind of Cold War cadences that were thought up in Germany back in the 60s and the 70s started getting revitalized. So like you had lines like tow missile dancing on a wire, T-72 up in fire. There were some really great cadences in that period of time. But
Well,
by the
what I
time
want to know is, if I say little yellow birdie with a little yellow bill, do you know to be worried for that bird?
on the windowsill, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we had that one too. And then, but by the time I came back in post 9/11, almost all of those cadences were gone. Now, I mean, you still had, we brought back several of them in my basic training company, because I had to go to basic training twice. That's fun. And so, like we brought back things like, killing baby seals and, things like that. But they wouldn't let us do like, burn the town and kill the people, all that kind of stuff. So,
Aw.
it was a new man's army in the post 9/11 era.
I wonder if these new recruits still know what makes the grass grow.
Yeah, it's the spirit of the
Chow.
bayonet. We actually did that, but they only did that, in relation to bayonet training, not as a cadence.
Sad.
All right, Watcher, how are you doing? You're still on the road, having to deal with life with only two monitors, right? Or
Oh,
with
only two
only one mon
monitors.
only one monitor, right?
Yeah, today because I forgot to go buy a power splitter so I could use my inverter to power the other one. Yeah, doing great. Just loading up on this jet fuel. I don't know if you gentlemen have heard of it, but it's called Dirty Chai and it will change your life.
Dirty chai. I've never heard of
It is a
this.
chai with three shots of espresso in it. It is rocket fuel.
I was so upset to find out that White Claw doesn't in fact have any caffeine or like energy drink stuff in it. It's all it is just a seltzer.
That's a business opportunity right there.
See, White Claw is pure, right? It's a wonderful, majestic drink. So I always get strange looks, but like hit at the bar when I order one, but it's like, the claw is the law, so.
I mean, clearly, you've been watching too much YouTube because these are all phrases I've heard. I love seeing Brandon Herrera, use White Claws downrange as for downrange, instant
That
feedback targets.
was a great video with his analyzing that one Hollywood fatal shooting,
Oh,
but
you talk about him on with Nick Ricciardo when they were going over that what's his name? Alec
yeah,
Baldwin's?
that's right. And also
Yeah.
his, in the video that he did separately, just his own channel. I never heard of the White Claw test, but like, that's how I test my liver every week anyway. So,
Oh boy.
I just have to say, since we were bringing up energy drink White Claws, Sam Walters says, or sorry, no, it was Stoli the Wise says, make Four Locos great again.
Yeah, Four Loko. Yeah, there's your drink with your energy drink in it. Holy ish, Watcher sounds like heaven.
Oh, good Lord. Good Lord, it is. Go to your local coffee shop, have them make you one, because you don't have an espresso machine in your house, or at least I don't.
Yeah, so when I did ROTC back in the 90s, we had I did summer camp, right? That's what they called it, the summer training for, and that was when you got evaluated and they gave you a grade, and that went into your assessment for like what branch or active component or whatever you get. And so we in 95 when I went to camp, We went to Fort Bragg, which I understand that was like the second to last year they did that at Fort Bragg, and we were in the old World War II barracks. Yeah, the 90s was definitely the high point of like, man, it sucks because we're in World War II barracks. But shortly thereafter, most of those were all torn down. If you guys are if I'm boring any of you, we got 75 watching. Just to let you know, I just got my warning notification that the Amber Heard trial coverage will begin in about 15 minutes over on Rakeda's channel. So watch us first, and then go and you can catch up with his stream at 1.5 speed. That's what I've been doing. It's
Shane. I remember Jolt, but do you remember Surge? Because that's the one that should come back.
Jolt Cola, I remember that. That was Jolt Cola was special because it was just extra sugar, if I remember correctly. No, Jolt Cola had caffeine in it too, right?
It sure did. Twice the regular amount of caffeine.
But it had more sugar too, if I remember correctly.
See, I
that
do
trial what a train wreck.
I'm sorry. I definitely miss the Surge, but you know, before you do consider watching the slow train wreck of the Amber Heard Johnny Depp trial, make sure you like and subscribe and share on all social media this channel.
That's exactly right. Yeah. If you're gonna leave us, at least leave us with a decent reach around before you go. And so we have 82 people watching live. Definitely, please, you guys, give us a subscribe if you haven't already done so. I know most of you do. It's interesting. You know, we have a lot of the people that catch us later aren't subscribed, but most of you guys who are watching live are actual subscribers. So that actually makes me feel really good because you guys come back knowing exactly what you're getting yourself into. You're not a random who has just stumbled upon us, generally speaking. We appreciate you guys. That means we're doing something right. For our number of our subscribers, and we're at over a little over 1,600, we're actually significantly higher than average for the amount of live viewers. So I just thank you guys very much for helping us be what we are. So like Dietica says, please like, subscribe, and hit the bell for notifications and share this too. And so the shares are really important because let me tell you, Ukraine coverage that doesn't, you know, say Ukraine is the real thing, that doesn't tout the party line, does not get any kind of algorithmic bump. They screwed up one day and gave us a bump on one video, and we all of a sudden got 3,000 views on that video. And that suspiciously hasn't happened since. And so that kind of gives me a pretty good understanding that that we are algorithmically challenged over here on this channel. So every time you tell somebody that something is worth listening to, that's actually a really good way to get the right on. The Ministry of Truth is taking names and counting likes.
And to all of our podcast audio only listeners, thank you guys so much. You guys have been going out and doing the ratings, and that has boosted us significantly. The podcast has started growing now. Before, we only had like 5 or 6 general listeners, and now we've got roughly 20. The more you guys go and do that, the more it's going to spread.
Yeah, and if you guys aren't regular listeners over there on the podcast, if you've got a Spotify account, go over to Spotify and give us a rating and a review. Tell us about the fact that, you know, the only reason you come back is the chance that Adam may show up again one day, and well, here he is today. So
I woke up early enough, so I was like, not gonna eat that early, so I might as well do something else.
Yes, I am. I'm not that good, but from time to time I have my moments there, CW. I appreciate you.
Scott all does right. turn a phrase well.
From time to time. Okay. And by the way, I've raising my level here. Watcher told me I was too poppy on the pops, you know, so I've got my little, pop filter up today. So, hopefully I sound a little better, but probably not.
I like it.
Hey man, I appreciate you. All right. So let's jump into the map. I don't want to keep these people waiting any longer. Okay, so Kharkiv. So Ukrainian forces continue to conduct successful counterattacks in the north and east of Kharkiv, slowly pushing Russian forces towards the Russian border and Siversky Donetsk. The Russian forces in the area have not been adequate to slow these Ukrainian attacks. This just goes to show that the Russian forces in this area aren't intending to be there for offensive operations, but purely to fix Ukrainian forces in the area, and the Ukrainian forces may be taking advantage of that. Recent Ukrainian attacks in the east Kharkiv have been attempting to push Russian forces away from the Siversky, Donetsk, and towards the Russian border to improve conditions for an individual push towards Velivki and Kupiansk. And so we've got a couple of videos here. So this is pretty interesting, I think. Clearly they've done a lot of damage, and these buildings are hazard areas. This is a hospital in Kharkiv, and what they're doing is basically some controlled demo of these concrete slabs that they have on the exterior of the building in order to just eliminate the hazard of falling objects and whatnot. I would imagine that this is kind of A, to get rid of a known hazard, but B, I mean, I think that every time you put a piece of concrete on the ground versus having it suspended in the air, that's that much little there is to throw around when the next when the next barrage comes. And who knows, maybe this is part of the plan to kind of make this building usable in the future, though I'm not quite sure how. Yes, it continues, doesn't it? And then here's another. So this is I had seen reports that this is some sort of a grain facility, but it's pretty interesting that it's being directly targeted by a cruise missile of some sort. So I'm not quite sure what's going on there, but that's a very oddly specific target.
Those tractors. The tractors to the left.
That's right.
No, those are forklifts.
Are those forklifts?
I thought they were tractors. You know how strategic those tractors have been.
You know, the working men that I used to work with in college would call them tow motors and not forklifts. I said a forklift one day, and they were just like, what? That's not a forklift. That's a tow motor.
Well, it's a warehouse of some sort, with all those forklifts and stuff.
It's got a weird shape to it, right?
So I know they don't grow potatoes, but those look like potato warehouses or some kind of root cellar.
Yeah, some sort of food production would be my bet, especially with the way these kind of connected. I would imagine there's some sort of a conveyor belt system.
Something, but if it was... you can see the missile there. I only just saw that.
You can see the, those smaller buildings.
Yeah. Yeah, there's the missile right there. Yeah, as it kind of enters the screen.
Huh. It hit the parking lot, too. I don't think it actually hit the building.
Like it hit just the base of the building or whatever.
Well, look, right here in the parking lot.
Ah, yeah, I see what you're saying.
That's going to leave one hell of a pothole.
Yeah, Bionic, that's what I had originally heard as well. It's supposed to be a grain warehouse of some sort.
See, and the only reason I don't know if it's grain is because with grain you usually store them in the very large silos because it's a lot easier to move it through conveyor belt systems that way.
So Adam has blue screened to death, so I assume he'll be back here in a stitch. So
I thought that was an unusual cutoff.
Yeah. So let's move on. Izum. Russian forces maintain a steady yet grinding pace and gaining ground against the Ukrainian forces along the Siversky Donetsk line. Russian troops captured Yatsivka and Korovy Yar, which are advancing in the direction of Kremenki And Oleksandrivka, more of those Ukrainian names. Though I don't think I was that bad on those. Ukrainian elements of the 81st Air Mobile Brigade have withdrawn from the area west of Yatsivka and are heading towards Sivaya. No, this one's hard. Sivilihorsk. I love these names. In the area of Lyman, Russian troops are advancing towards the Ozerny through the forest. The situation in Yampol is unclear at this moment, though the fighting continues in Rubzizny and Popasna. If steady success can be maintained, Russian troops may be able to achieve a breakthrough in the coming weeks. However, the recent redeployment of the 4th and 17th Ukrainian Tank Brigades to the Severodonetsk salient provides a powerful combined arms reserve to blunt any Russian penetration of Ukrainian defenses. So far, Ukrainian mobile defenses throughout the Donbas region has been sufficient to disrupt Russian attempts for a general breakthrough. Coupled with counterattacks in the Kharkiv area, I think the Russians will find this is very difficult to continue sustained offensive action. And like we said at the beginning, it's really becoming a war of attrition. And so you can see here on the map how they've pushed south out of Izum and they've kind of expanded to the west here. And then Sloviansk, this kind of line of Sloviansk, Kramatorsk, that line right there is really what they're looking to push with this kind of intermediate offensive operation in the area. And you can see how they've kind of connected the dots to Lyman and then coming out here with this push directly to Sloviansk. So that's definitely where we're seeing. Now, if you look down here, Popasna still hasn't been taken, but the fighting is still pretty intense over there. And this whole area is, this whole point of these kind of thrusts here is to surround Severodonetsk up here at the kind of northeastern corner of the salient. Adam, do you have a little computer problem there?
Yeah, I my computer force restarted on me, so it must be the Russians. So
that's right, they're Russians. Let's just blame them. I don't know. You were talking about Chinese agents before we started the show, so maybe that's they overheard you. So some keywords.
Of course. I mean, my apartment's literally just bugged by everybody. So the joke is that they're all spying on each other.
By the way, just if you guys don't remember, Adam is a former Trump administration official. So and then on top of that, you're probably bugged by CNN as well. So,
right. Well, luckily, I'm relatively boring. That's why they never cover me. Like they're like, oh, you have no obvious character flaws. We're never going to talk about you. So
well, you know, the probably the fact that you were so boring is why CNN Plus had to fold up shop because. You know, they were trying to.
I'm not sure character flaws is a you know, of any value, Hunter. You know, if we're looking at, good Lord, talk about hypocrisy. If that's what they're targeting,
I was going to say that actually might put a target. The fact that Adam is a church boy means he probably has a target on his back for it. So,
right.
All right, so some pretty interesting. Let's look at this footage of this. You know, this is in the general vicinity of this Severodonetsk salient. Can you pull that BTR footage up, Watcher?
Yes, I'm sorry. Because I've only got the one screen, I have to do juggling. I've almost got it up now.
Cool.
So once again, these BTR-82s with their excellent fire rate on these 30mm cannons that they have. Are you sharing audio?
I am not. It doesn't allow me to do that if I'm just watching a single application window for some reason.
You should bizarre. when you share your close it out. You should be share your screen again, and you should be able just to.
If I do screen share with the whole screen, it lets me do it. But unfortunately, that'll mean that they'll see the back studio and everything.
Well, we can do the sound effects ourselves, right? Who has a really good 30 millimeter cannon?
Boom, 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 boom.
Yeah, there you go.
But so what they're doing here is they're just providing some sort of suppressive fire on a position. And they're going to town, too. This is not like a short burst. I mean, these are like 30-round bursts that they're doing on this 30-millimeter cannon. So, I mean,
see the shells flying out of it, Chad?
They're just, they're just going to town on these guys. We've seen a lot of shooting off screen where, I'm always leery of believing anything when I see shooting off screen, because what that means is that you could be shooting at anything. Juan Chola in the chat, of course, he's spot on here. I guess I should drink for that.
Yeah. And why isn't it hull down? Like you still want to rotate the hull, like, you know, in a anti-armor environment like that.
Yeah, you don't want to present the side. You know, you're a broadside, essentially. You know, the biggest version of your target silhouette. You still want to try to have a front on aspect to the enemy. But now the one advantage of being able to do it this way is be able to move very quickly behind some sort of cover or concealment or something along those lines. So, I mean, there could be something to that, but you know. He doesn't seem to be going anywhere. He's pretty much, you know, he's moving a little bit, but he's pretty stationary. So anyway, so I thought that was just interesting. It was way more interesting when it had sound. So Watcher, thanks for ruining that.
Welcome. I try my best.
Crossing the T is not a thing on the land warfare. It sure is when the T is the back of the armored vehicle. Because as we've noted in the past, the attack on the rear, as Jack Murphy knows, is the most dangerous.
Especially when it's a sneak attack.
And moving on without comment. So the Donetsk line of control AO, DNR continues to pressure Ukrainian defenders along the line of control with many smaller attacks fixing Ukraine forces. In defensive positions along the line of contact. Reports are that the Somali battalion of the DNR is attacking the holdout city of Avdiivka. So we saw the Somali battalion the other day as they were pulled out of Mariupol. So within a week, essentially, they are back on the line in Somalia, right? So that's a kind of an interesting name for a Russian-backed militia. So no, those are not Wagner hired mercenaries from Somalia. During the original war in 2014, one of the Donetsk separatist battalions, these were battalions that were made up from volunteers from both Donetsk, but also some special operations people from within Russia. And they had local leaders, and the leader of this one was Givi. There's been a lot of memes made about him. He was assassinated in like 2016, but they named their battalion Somalia because they were, you know, they wanted a badass name. And so they were naming themselves after Somali pirates. So that's where that name comes from.
Yes, because nothing screams badass operator like a rail thin Somali man. Wielding a half rusted out AK.
I am the captain now. So man. this is a headquarters building apparently. It was hit enough times where those guys are like unassing the building, and the guy fell on his face right there in the road. I don't know if you saw that.
I was wondering if he just got shot because like he.
No, I think he got shot.
Yeah, like so, like that was maybe. Like a combined arms assault, probably. Like if there's somebody close enough to shoot him.
So well, there are two reasons that I think he got shot. One is that he starts crawling afterwards, and the set here will go up to that.
So the guys run in and then they get hit. So then they're trying to get the hell out of there, and then yeah, he goes down. So I don't know, maybe he got shot, but.
Well, and then the camera pans to the right as though they're trying to find the source of the shot.
Hmm. I just don't think they would have anybody that close into the building with those explosions going off. Supposedly they were using thermal barrack weapons. Those didn't appear to be thermal barracks to me, but I mean, what do I know? I'm not an expert on vacuum bombs.
No, it looks like an artillery round to me.
Yeah, it looks like just like a 152 or something along those lines. It's a pretty good size round, so I mean, that's like I said, 152 would probably fit the bill for that.
It's not a small house, yeah.
And see, these guys are running across there already after it's hit, so they're already kind of moving out. And I think these guys come out after it's hit to kind of join their buddies in the wood line. So yeah, he definitely gets hit, but we don't, you know, not sure what's causing that. So
by what? Who knows?
By what? Who knows? That's correct.
Wait, I know. He got hit by a stray round from those Chechens that were doing the air fire drills. That must
be shooting up and spraying in the air. Yeah, that's right.
Well, I mean, like, that's the thing too. It's like you know, this is not a basically trained military force, right? So, you know, he could have actually like ND'd himself even, you know. So who knows? Really.
It's kind of like it kind of like the scene from what's the George Clooney movie?
Oh yeah, I was watching recently. I was watching The Trench, which is about the Battle of the Somme, mm-hmm. and like basically like people are just NDing left and right because they're just like terrified of like when they're holding their rifle, you know?
Yeah,
so, like,
yeah.
But you know, the thing that blows my mind,
finger off the trigger was not a thing back then.
That's right. Well, it's because like they're like, you only have one round, so are you gonna like what damage are you gonna do with that? You know. Well, the thing that still blows my mind is, you know, especially I live in Texas and it's pretty warm right now. It's just how cold Ukraine is. There's still snow on the ground. You know, like so whatever like complexity that is in the military operation currently, add into that winter temperatures. You know, with everything here. So all these assaults, all these movements are like in the cold.
Well, they're in that kind of spring, like hot as hell during the day, but cold as shit at night type of situation there now. So I've been looking at the weather and definitely the ground is drying out, you know, from the initial thaw and all that kind of stuff. So and I think that's one of the reasons why we're seeing this kind of more maneuver-centric warfare. Yet it still seems like these guys are really sticking to the roads more than I would expect them to. Hunch the Dirty Roofer for $5 says, I can't wait to see how the media will spin it if the Russians start headhunting the Ukraine chain of command in response to Ukrainian tactics. Well, what I'm curious about is when they decide they want to put a naval task force in the middle of the Atlantic and start targeting C-17s carrying equipment over to from the U.S. to Poland for infiltration into Ukraine. So,
gentlemen, we're all missing
that would be
all Russia has to do is take out Nance. Then it's over, right?
Task I mean, that's... actually, I think they're relying on his incompetence to. Hopefully, they could kill everybody around him and he'll be promoted up. You know, fail upwards and then cause a. You know, 97 people watching live. Hey, go ahead and hit that like button. Let's see if we can get those likes up to 100 during the show. Thank you very much, and let's move on to our next portion. So, Mariupol. Russia's forces conducted a series of assaults. And then they are actually in the process of getting that M14 highway we talked about the other day. They continue to push for that. And we'll see probably portions of the Azovstal complex taken. Now, within the last 24 hours, they have opened up some humanitarian routes in conjunction with the International Red Cross. Reportedly, these civilian transfers out of the Azovstal plant are going to Ukrainian-controlled territory. So we'll see about that. I haven't seen confirmation on that yet. Though I did see some of the footage of the. The civilians coming out of the Azovstal plant. So it's clearly happening. We just don't know exactly the full story. Looking at Zaporizhia, there's been little activity in the Zaporizhia area of operations over the last 48 hours. Russian forces continue shelling Ukrainian positions along the defensive line running from...
Oh, you missed a fiber, Scott.
Oh, indeed I did. Hunched Dirty Roofer again. Too bad Iskander didn't get Pelosi. Too bad Iskander didn't. Now, see, I can't say that. I disavow these types of you know. How about this? Too bad we weren't playing Minecraft, and in Minecraft, and Iskander didn't get Dirty Nancy. Will she be in Kiev this weekend?
Guys, I don't know if you know this, but it's actually impossible to kill Nancy Pelosi with something like a missile. She can see the future. Very clearly from her stock picks, she can see the future.
She is very, you know, and we thought Joe Stranamis was good.
You got to give her some credit. We talked about her in the pre-show, and I did look it up. Yes, she did go to Iraq in 2008, so this is not her first trip. But what is she, 80 years old? How old is she?
Not her first rodeo, huh?
Well, I mean, it's pretty impressive that she's getting on an airplane going into a war zone. I'll give her that much.
I wonder.
Trying to be nice.
Is this a filter? Is this a legitimate filter? Look, this is a legitimate filter effect.
Oh yeah, that's kind of nice. She's got to do something, in my opinion. This is about the fact that she wasn't going to run for re-election, and then it looked like her party was going to get massacred, and that's a really bad time to retire when you're the head of the party. I think this is that she's got people in her district, even among Democrats, who are willing to run against her, and she's trying to do anything she can to boost her image. And right now, Zelensky's the hottest ticket in town for that kind of action.
Oh, I don't doubt any of that. I was just when we were talking before, I thought she had not made an appearance. And I'll be honest, you know, these congressional delegations, I don't know what purpose, you know, they need to get, you know, foot on the ground and see what's going on. You know, if people are not given the appropriate reporting for their level of understanding, you know, people need to be fired. You know, I don't need you to come here to personally, and I say that because I've flown around helicopters with these idiots, and you know, thanks for coming, you know, for just giving us something else to do that is unproductive.
Well, but, like they're always looking for the whole holy grail, insufficient, like winter clothes, not appropriate body armor and soft covered Humvee type, like controversies. Right. And so like, they're looking for these like macro problems when, you know, like they're mostly hanging out at a FOB. Like a macro, a major FOB.
Well, when you put it in the context of, say, like 2008, that was prime Bush bashing time. And yeah, they would go over there and find that macro issue of, oh, insufficient body armor, you know, not enough up armored.
Because
changed everything.
$5?
Yeah, the MRAPs are always an issue with at that point. You know, at 2008, we were getting them in, but they just weren't enough of them. Anti-commie for $5. They'd have info, but the Marines keep eating all the crayons meant for the congressmen. Now, how dare you? How dare you, sir?
Many such cases, though.
How dare you?
Yeah, Shard, you know, Mike doesn't understand the value of a hearty handshake in war zone. I mean, there's nothing more valuable to me than some fucking suit from D.C. coming and, you know, giving me a hearty slap on the back and saying, oh, you're really doing a great job. You know, yeah, keep at it.
Let me tell you.
Where are you from, son?
Hey, Sniper, Sniper's Nest is in the chat. Welcome, brother. Hey, I was listening to your stream a little bit yesterday. I think that was a pretty good talk you guys were having. So I just want to give you a shout out. Sniper's Nest, very cool YouTube channel. Friend of the channel, go over there. Maybe sometime if you sub to his channel, maybe you'll see Brother Joe come on there from time to time and talking some sense into Sniper.
Hey, Sniper, sorry you got sick kids, man. Hope they get better soon.
Speak of the devil. Joe, how you doing, brother?
I don't know that I'm the devil, and I don't know how long this is going to work, but we're going to try it.
Well, we just had a super chat that was talking about you, but the Marines keep eating all the crayons, men for congressmen.
So. And?
What, you guys want them to be able to write more laws? Huh?
Huh? Right.
Yeah, well, the problem is their staffers will do it for them because they, Lord knows, no member of Congress. Adam, when do you think the last time an actual member of Congress wrote a law or a bill?
Well, you know, that's a hard thing to say because it's like it's a tremendous amount of labor. So like you have to really be, you're really asking the question of like, does an individual member of Congress have the time in their life to like learn to write a bill so that they can actually be part of the process of writing a bill that they're going to suggest to committee that's going to get revised by committee staff and also other member staff. So it's almost like you're asking the wrong question of like, what does a legislative director actually do in Congress, right? Which is actually supposedly the one that actually writes the bill, but is usually the one that's talked to by the lobbyist.
I was going to say the lobbyists are one that, you know, used to, you know, at first the congressman probably had a big hand in writing the bills. And then the staff started helping them writing the bills. And then finally, now we're at our current state of art in Washington, D.C. Their lobbyists write the bills. So,
well, it's still not writing bills. They're cutting and pasting and that lend lease.
Right.
That lend lease thing, you know, from last week's discussion is a good example. These fuckers are so lazy they can't write new legislation for today's current events. They have to go back to World War II legislation and say, well, that was legitimate, so let's just repurpose that.
Auto replace, you know, Nazi Germany with Putin's Russia.
I didn't get to say this last time, but as long as we're bringing up the lend lease. Anybody want to take a swing at how long it took us from Lend-Lease to war last time?
Oh, I saw some of that on the TL. I mean, I know that was bandied about. It was a very short time, right?
Yeah, it was like six months or something like that, right?
Less than 6 months.
Yeah.
Less than 6 months. Yep.
Anti-commie for $5. That was a good thing. Keep the devil dogs fed and Congress away from anything that writes. Hey, you know, so get to real quick to Mike's point about, and we're going to talk about this in more detail because we're going to talk about Pelosi's visit. But I get why important people want to come and say thank you, right? You know, let's assume they all have pure motives and there's no politics involved, you know, like, you know, because we did have some CODELs come through that are like, hey, no pictures, we're not here for publicity, we're here to find out about your mission, to see what you need, blah blah blah. We did have a couple of those, and so let's say that's correct. It still causes an enormous amount of ass pain for all involved in theater when they come through. And it also derails missions and it derails other things. And it also, if the enemy finds out, creates a huge target for them to hit. And so it theoretically puts people's lives at risk. So it's just something to consider. I'm not saying they shouldn't do those types of things. It's just you have to consider all that stuff, the unintended consequences.
Send comedians instead. Send comedians instead. That was always the best time.
All right. Let's wrap up this map stuff. So Kherson is our last area to cover. Russian forces continue to regroup and reconnoiter the southern axis and did not make any confirmed advances on May 1st. Russia seems to be looking at moving on Odessa next. Evidently, though, today's targeted missile strikes and UAV ops, if they can break through Kherson to Mykolaiv, they will likely try and control the entire coastline of Ukraine to create a potential corridor of Transnistria. Wow, this sounds familiar. Where have I heard
that
this
sounds
before?
Very familiar. I don't know where we've heard that before.
As Stan likes to say, Stan is famous for saying, Odessa is still on the table. Joe, I thought you'd appreciate this. So this is one of those fast attack boats of Russia's got in the Black Sea. It's kind of puttering around, doing its thing. Just kind of advance the film a little bit there, watcher.
You got it. Am I wrong in saying that one of these would be a high-value target simply because of who's riding on it?
Well, it's just one of those kind of things that, you know, they don't have an infinite supply of these things. You know, they've got hundreds and thousands of tanks, but, oh, one less boat.
That's a bad day.
Yeah.
I hope you can swim.
Yeah, I hope you got your life preserver, buddy.
Hopefully you can swim after that. Like, you
know, I was going to say, I think most of the life preservers.
Yeah, you're probably not. You're probably not. Swimming, I'm aware of that, but yeah.
Well, so, you know, anyway,
if you might float.
Can you float, Bobby boy? So, but
I'm guessing
the point
that's
is
one
that,
of our PBRs or
yeah, I right? think it's
like,
something.
It's like one of our riverine crafts.
So this is two separate explosions, if you notice, but yeah, it's something like that, Joe, like a patrol boat of some sort. Kind of fast patrol boat. So anyway, I thought that was kind of interesting. And thus concludes the map segment for today. Joe, I don't know if you've seen our topics for today, but you're going to get a kick out of these. We've got, let's see. Well, let's start with Queen Nancy. That's what I've dubbed her. Because she was very regal in her approach in here in blue. Everybody else has got some sort of a neutral color on, and she's wearing blue. Of course she is.
You know, I didn't think about it, but chat had it right. I don't remember who said it. They must have sent Nancy because she's literally the only one shorter than Zelensky.
Right? And what is she wearing around her neck? Is that the thing that normally goes in her mouth, or?
Oh,
it looks like.
Now, Joe.
Never mind. But here's the thing, though. I made this comment on Twitter that the man met them in a hoodie. I mean, come on. I get it. There's some theatrics going on, but it's getting ridiculous. I mean, what's he going to do next time? Show up in cargo shorts and a tank top?
Well, right. Like, at least wear a military uniform.
It'll be PTA uniform. He's going to jog up in a PT formation, you know.
Here's the thing. You have to admit he's completely consistent. He hasn't gotten dressed for anybody. I mean, he literally wears a combination of the same types of clothing every day.
But he could shave and maybe brush his hair every now and then.
But that's off brand. That's not his brand. This is we're seeing is exactly his brand.
Well, but look, he couldn't take the time to shave, but someone took the time to line his beard.
Well, I like that this guy, if you can scroll back to where you see the whole table.
Right.
And then pause. I like this guy here. He's not going tactical, but he's going like, you know, he's got the Stone Island. You know, this shit is like expensive stuff.
Well, that's actually really a point I was going to make. It's like they're wearing like, tactical athleisure wear.
Yeah,
like,
right.
None of this is like issue like for
yeah,
anybody.
His is MTAC. Like, that's a couple $100 hoodie right there too.
Right. So like at the very least, if you're gonna do the Generalissimo thing, like throw on some camouflage utilities, you know? And like at least that would be like moderately more respectable than hey, I'm gonna do designer, I think European tactical olive drab here.
It's true.
I mean, seriously, they're handing him a check for $100 billion, maybe. What was that?
Yeah.
Oh, have you guys seen the parking garage video with all their cars in it?
Oh yeah, it's a kleptocracy. Like, you know, I want the Ukrainians to like win, but like, you know, like there's still the whole massive graft that the nation engages in.
Well, that's the really interesting thing. I mean, and this goes to the whole idea of just looking at the New York Times articles from this time last year, right? And they're talking about how corrupt Zelensky and his stooges are that he's surrounded by and who's pulling his strings. And, you know, they're citing the Freedom House index of you know, corrupt countries and free press and all this kind of stuff. And they're like 130th on the list, right? Which is clearly in the bottom half, right? And if I remember correctly, they were actually rated worse than Russia. So, I mean, all of this goes away as soon as they become the new thing, right? The, you know, support the current thing. That's not a Ukraine thing. That's a U.S. kind of cultural politics thing, which I think is just really interesting.
Someone sent me a video last night of Ukrainian police going around conducting raids. It was an AP video. Well done, well produced. And them conducting raids over social media posts.
Yeah. And, those guys doing the entry team deal up the stairs. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, showing up with full entry teams over social media posts. I mean, nothing says we're a free country like arresting people and dragging them out of their homes at gunpoint for social
media. And leading
media
up,
posts.
Yeah, leading up the stairs with your Spetsnaz SBU bulletproof gun shield, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. Crazy. I mean, I don't like riot shields in Call of Duty, and I don't like them when the police come knocking at my door either. So,
well, and I, if you can link me that video, I'll show it. But like, here's one from not that long ago of police literally raiding a concert that was being held for anti-war. Or sorry, never mind, that was Russians. I'm having a hard time finding footage with only one screen.
Well, it's on my thing. I'll try, but I don't want to tax my computer too much.
Good point. I'll keep looking.
So anyway, I just thought this was really interesting. Let me read through this. If it's not a yawn.
God bless you. Don't stop that.
I know, right? It's not good YouTube, right? So let me.
It fills dead air, right? At least you know. So.
So let me read through here. So this. Speaker Pelosi was accompanied to Kiev by Democratic representatives McGovern, Meeks, Crow, and Schiff. So how about them bipartisan delegation there? I mean, she could have at least took the January 6th panel with her. You know, Kinzinger, I'm sure he'd love a chance to go and talk about, you know, didn't he just recently sponsor a bill that would allow for U.S. boots on the ground or something along those lines?
Right. Well, you know, he's a guy who flies something so slow it wouldn't be put into anywhere close to an anti-aircraft environment. But he's never seen a conflict that he doesn't want somebody else in uniform to be in.
That's right. Oh, good night. What are we doing here? Yeah. Anyway, well, I thought
never fired a shot in anger shouldn't be the ones making that call. But I think that's obvious at this point.
Well, especially a congressperson who knows he's on the way out, right? You know, if I knew I was on the way out, I sure as hell wouldn't be trying to get our boys and girls and, you know, in the military in harm's way and then going deuces, you know, and then piecing out back to Illinois or wherever it is where his congressional district was gerrymandered out of existence.
Well, so it's actually something my friend Pedro Gonzalez said in a private chat. He's like, you know, I wonder if Kinzinger is trying to get that sweet, sweet Ukrainian lobby money after he gets out, you know, to become a lobbyist for the country. So big if true.
Yeah, that's it. That's right.
Well, Pelosi's deal over there, again, we talked about 2008 Iraq, and the talk track back then was eviscerating Bush's, you know, stay the course kind of methodology. You know, that was the party line for the Republican side was stay the course, and the anti party line was, oh, that's horrible. Well, here she is essentially, from what I've read over the weekend, going over there and pledging, you know, unlimited support. So the $33 billion we talked about last week is just tip of the iceberg. So, you know, so once again, we just have whatever counter revolutionary crap, you know, that's the policy. It's interesting how they can kind of change, you know, one, the level of enthusiasm for, say, whatever was going on in Iraq to the level of enthusiasm that's being imposed on, you know, Ukraine as being, this is the good fight.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think unfortunately, I think at least in the last 20 years, even using the word hypocritical just almost means nothing, in today's context.
Well, I mean, there is no concept of like traditional shame the way we've seen it in the past. So, well,
but one of the guys in the said, yeah, you're missing a point of ragging on Pelosi for spending your money, and that's really the point. Again, we're $30 trillion in debt. Here we are pledging unlimited support for, this. This is just a self-looking ice cream cone from hell, And I think it was Joshua mentioned something about production and manufacturing facilities in Russia are still intact as far as cranking out more tanks and whatnots. And that's being, the logistics of this war is just going to be crazy if the U.S. and everyone else just starts, doing the resupply for Ukraine. That the counter to that is China is going to be pumping money into whatever to counter that replenishment with additional resources for Russia. So it's pretty ugly. And Pelosi going over there, making these pledges just exacerbates it.
Yeah.
You bring up hypocrisy, and I feel that there's an important point to be made here. It's something that James Lindsay has said a couple of times, and that is that we fundamentally misunderstand why the left doesn't seem to care about hypocrisy at all. And it's because they look at things very differently than we do. And one of those things is that they don't look at hypocrisy as something that causes them shame. It's a point of pride. It's them rubbing it in your face that, yes, I did it. And I know that it's just about power, but that's fundamentally my belief.
Yeah, but at this point, it's either side just takes the contrary view just for that purpose. I mean, there literally is no unity. And I guess the Republicans are kind of embracing this war too, but they both sides do it. And, that's why we are just running in place, going nowhere.
For sure, but I count many, 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 many Republicans as ideological leftists. I don't really care about party lines. I'm more talking about actual ideologies.
Well, I agree.
All right, so Hunt's the Dirty Roofer. Sorry, I've had this up here for a while. I just haven't got around to reading it. I started getting distracted. Hunt's Dirty Roofer for Five says, did y'all hear about the recommendations made by the Council on the Future of Europe? Removal of anonymity, unanimity, establishment of an army and canceling of vetoes. Yeah, there's some real choice stuff coming out of Europe. So here's the thing. Europe has created essentially a system that allows all the countries to have zero say in the executive functions that are preside over most of their national and international functions. So sovereignty, say goodbye to your national sovereignty if you're in Europe. And I think this is why we'll see a continued move on the part of many European countries to leave the Eurozone. I think Brexit is just the first of many.
Agreed.
I just dropped a link, a picture link, for you to check out in the show prep documents.
Okay, grabbing it.
And this is just a great picture. And it says there's a lot of unspoken stuff going on in this picture. I mean, definitely neither of them want to be there. This needs to be a meme, right? I mean,
that is a lot of distance. I don't think they actually, like, not only do they not want to be there, they don't physically want to be near each other.
Well, I want to see some captions on this. I want to see some, like, a thought. I want to see, like, a thought bubble from her and then a thought bubble from him. Like, what are they thinking of this?
It almost looks like a passport on the left. What is you know, like
Zelensky awarded her Pelosi the Order of the Prince of Olga. So
that Olga prince, princess, pardon me. So here's a quick thought. Just looking at Zelensky, is he's thinking up, even though his country's been in a state of war. So
yeah,
Why he wears olive drab.
Slimming.
Yeah,
slimming.
Yeah, slimming. Very slimming, you know. So he's looking a little jolly around the midsection. That's probably why he doesn't shave, too.
Well, you know,
It's simple. You know, he's got to suck up to keep the money coming in. You know, it's right. Duh.
Okay, I got you a couple thought bubbles just real quick. This bitch is going to want an additional 10%, isn't she? This manlet better goddamn give me my 10%.
I like this one. I'd rather be playing piano. So, yeah, if you've got thought bubbles, just put the name, either Pelosi or Zelensky, and then the quote, and so we know what you think that they should be saying. Pelosi,
I think Bionic B is correct. She does look a little...
pensive.
Irregular.
Oh my god!
We've definitely hit the highbrow on this this episode. Oh, I'm glad. Ron and Stan aren't here to be embarrassed by us.
Actually, I think I detect a hint of shame in Zelensky's eyes there. So I wonder if maybe the thought bubble there is, I hope she hasn't seen the high heels video.
You know, I think it's going to be something along the lines of, you know, this briefed so much better than it's actually going.
Maybe to get the money, Zelensky had to put on the high heels for Nancy Pelosi.
I was promised a case of vodka. When do I get it?
Oh, man.
The anal leakage is kicking in.
She's...
She had some Alestra Pringles on the flight over.
You know,
they couldn't even censor the photo. Like, if you notice, like this is just peak incompetence by staff. Like, they're not even like really standing behind the flags that they had set up. They're behind the door.
Exactly. They're off center, right? Pelosi, this midget promised me vodka. Instead, all I got was this stupid passport.
You know it. It almost looks like, I think she might be looking